You're listening to a special podcast produced by UMFM 101.5 in partnership with the Winnipeg Folk Festival. Running Thursday, July 11th through Sunday, July 14th at picturesque Birds Hill Park, Winnipeg Folk Festival is a celebration of people and music that has been one of North America's premier outdoor music festivals for over 40 years. I'm Michael Ells, host of the Bank on its Free Range, and this episode spotlights Ibibio Sound Machine. The UK collective fronted by London-born Nigerian singer Eno Williams has developed a signature sound over the course of five albums, the most recent of which is Pull the Rope. Ibibio Sound Machine will be performing at Big Blue at Night on Friday, July 12th at 8:30 p.m. For the full lineup, a complete list of set times, to purchase tickets, and for more information on the Winnipeg Folk Festival, visit winnipegfolkfestival.ca. Ibibio Sound Machine coming to the Winnipeg Folk Festival. Eno William from the group joins me on the show. Welcome.
Hi, Michael. Thanks for having me.
So very happy to have you on the show, but even more excited to have you come into Winnipeg Folk Festival touring the new record, Pull the Rope.
Yes. We are really, really looking forward to coming. Yeah, can't wait.
Obviously, there's a great history of festivals in England and Europe. Do you have a lot of experience playing those kind of festivals?
Yeah, we tend to do a lot of festivals, so like, yeah, we kind of cool, we like the festival scene. Yeah, to be coming and doing it in Canada.
Yeah, does the energy, is it a different thing than playing like a club show or a theater show?
You know what? I think it varies, but I always say like the audience are always so great because like the energy is different. Like in an intimate kind of setting, a club where it's like maybe not as many people. Yeah, I mean the energy is always there still, but obviously the vibe is so different. This kind of club vibe is different to like a big festival vibe. So it just varies, but the audience is always like up for a good time.
For
That's what
sure.
we love.
Now, as I mentioned, Pull the Rope, your new record, it's the fifth record that you guys have released in a decade.
Yes.
It's a pretty like healthy clip as far as making new music goes. Like, is this self-propelled or like are you getting outside forces that want you to kind of keep this pace?
Well, the thing is, we kind of like anything, I think we're just as musicians, we're always making music, we're always writing music. So there's always material, I think, to put out. So like when we're on the road, sometimes we're like constantly like making stuff and ideas are constantly coming. So yeah, we just keep putting out music because people kind of want us to keep putting out music. Yeah.
So you're able to write on the road.
Yeah, we're able to write on the road sometimes. I mean, not like fully write, but my ideas might come up. We might have like a little sound card with us or something, and we record stuff on our phones a lot, and then just have like the base of the idea, and then Max would usually, when he comes back to the studio space, to sort of develop the idea, or I might come in and maybe redo or add things, add vocals, or sometimes after our guitars, we do when we're doing sound check. Sometimes we just get into like a jam mode, and then we just play things, and new things just come to mind.
Do you record your sound checks in case those kinds of things happen?
Oh yeah, Max always has his phone to hand, and I sometimes have my phone to hand as well, and then we just record just in case. Just in case, yeah. Because sometimes, yeah, someone will play something or I'll sing a bar or so, and then just hum a melody or chant a phrase or something, and then we just record it. We're like, oh yeah, we should probably record that. Yeah, and then that would be the beginning of something. Yeah.
As I understand it, that kind of like stretches back to your and Max's kind of working relationship as like a bedroom project at the beginning of this art act.
Yeah, pretty much. It's all started like more of an experimental thing. I was like sort of singing some songs in some stories that I got told as a child in Ibibio, and Max was like, oh, what's that? I was like, well, it's just folk tales and stories that my parents or family would have told me as a child, and he was quite excited about the fact that the language sounded quite rhythmic. And then at the same time, of some friends of ours that were sort of working on trying to put something to some African kind of project together, thought, oh, maybe we could do something together. And then kind of one song led to two, and then to three, and then to four songs, and then before we knew it, we had like a whole album worth of material. Of course, with everyone bringing their own ideas to the table, like Alfred, our guitarist, who's like a high life connoisseur, and Tony, who plays the Moog and the synth most of the time. He's more from electronic and jazz background. So everyone sort of came together and just put their ideas to the plate.
How did you and Max first get hooked up? Like, was he involved with Konkoma at that time?
Yeah, he was involved in Konkoma. I did some sessions and project vocals on that project, and then so yeah, one thing led to the other, and we sort of started kind of toying with the idea of doing something different with Ibibio, and that's how that came about.
And then at that point, did you start enlisting members, or like did you kind of work on that first record, just the two of you, and then figure out who would play it?
Oh, you mean on the Konkoma record?
Or on the like the so the like
Oh,
you kind
Ibibio
of got
record.
together with Konkoma, but then obviously the Abibio sounds
Oh
like
yeah,
it was just the two of you at
the Ibibio
first.
thing was sort of pretty much myself and Max sort of started it together. But because we all work as friends, a lot of the people in the band were all like musician friends who like sort of do sessions together, like do other bands together, and it was kind of more organic that we all just thought, oh well, hang on, this person can try this idea, that person can try that idea, and then slowly it just all came together.
Now, the most recent record, as I understand it, like you purposefully wrote more songs in English.
Yeah, we decided to kind of have more song structures as opposed to more like jam, because we've kind of figured that when we go out to toward the material, people always want to sing along, especially like people kind of learn the lyrics in Ibibio, and they're always like quite keen to sing along. And we thought maybe it'd be nice to like have some anthemic kind of phrases and lyrics that people can actually, you know, sing along to, and just be inclusive as well, and just join in and get and be part of the whole experience.
So the people who, trying to sing along in Ibibio obviously don't necessarily know what you're saying. Is that a like edifying thing to see kind of your language appeal to
Yeah,
people
it is
beyond?
quite surreal, and it's quite like it's very, very inspirational, and it's quite touching. And to, you know, I mean, usually I would explain the background of some of the songs. I would say what the songs are about. If it's about a story, for example, I'll give like a back history of what the song is talking about, and then teach people, you know, like some of the like choruses and phrases. And it was just really nice that people would like usually just go away and listen to the record, and you know, would kind of sing along even without me, you know, teaching them the phrases. So it was nice, and it just felt like organic to sort of have a bit of a shift and have more English lyrics on this record.
And then in terms of the content, obviously, one of the messages is, people kind of at cross purposes with each other and the notion of like pulling the rope together.
Yeah, I
It's
mean, the thing about pull the rope, I mean, the title track, I mean, discusses the idea of the whole push and pull, like a bit like a tug of war, like people on both sides pushing and pulling. So rather than war, like we're sort of inviting people to come together, to pull together and discuss issues, and kind of trying to bring everyone together. So rather than fight, let's have a dialogue instead, you know, of fighting, pretty much.
Now, the new record was produced by Ross Horton, and I read an interview. You said, there's a bit of edginess because it's a Sheffield record.
That is true. Yeah, there's a bit. Yeah, because Sheffield is quite like an industrial town. It's not like London, so it's kind of very, very edgy, dark in some, you know, in some respects. And but Ross himself, like, was a really cool guy to work with. He's great at pulling like really great drum sounds and more like the electronic, like really pushing it more, you know, with the electronic feel as well. So I mean, Max had done a lot of the work on a lot of the record before we went up to Sheffield to work with Ross.
What led you to Ross? Like, I mean, he's a drummer too, right? Like, 'cause he's in
Yeah.
Add N to X. Is that like, was it 'cause he's got a drumming background, or what? Or was there a record that he'd done that you all wanted?
We like the stuff that he's done previously on all the other stuff that he's worked on. We kind of like the sound and yeah, just the edginess and just the depth of, you know, the sound that he pulls. So it was kind of just great to work with him.
You'd worked with Hot Chip on Electricity,
Yeah.
and like that's a decidedly different thing. Were you like purposefully looking for someone with a different sound for Pull the Rope?
Again, I think it also stems back to the fact that we're like mutual admirers of each other's work. We'd seen them, we'd played a few festivals together, and I sat in on a DJ set once, and it was just kind of cool, just admiring what we each other do. And sort of the discussion was had, and but then it was sort of trying to find the time of when it would happen. And then that record, that opportunity just came because we obviously, I think, we were in lockdown, and there was kind of time to just for everyone to just, you know, sit back and take stock, and then really just have a bit more time to create. And they were around because, I mean, they're usually quite busy anyway, but it's just, it felt like the right time to work together.
So you mentioned a discussion was had. How much talk do you do with a producer about the record before you start making the record? Like, is it like conceptual or like more like technical?
I think, I mean, we always tend to do a fair bit of work, and then when we go to, we do go to somebody else, we're obviously going to them because of the sound that they create. I mean, like Hot Chip, they had like a great thing with the whole electronic pulling of all the Moog sound and the synth sound as well, which we didn't have. So they were able to bring that to the table. So I guess when more pushing more towards the electronic side of things, we kind of knew that they were the best people to work with because of, you know, what they do, you know, really well as well on their own work that they've done.
Does the edginess that Rob brings to it, like, does that fit the messaging of Pull the Rope too? Like, that kind of things are a little,
yeah,
little more
so.
High strung?
I think so, because, yeah, there's an urgency. And I mean, on this record, there's a bit of an urgency, you know. I mean, we're always trying to bring people together, you know, with the whole positive vibes and hope and lifting people's spirits. So, I mean, the fact that, you know, Ross has that edginess in his sound and just able to pull a really good drum sound and then just push towards more the electronics of the music, it kind of felt obvious, yeah, to work with him.
So if songs sometimes kind of like sound check jams and times like that, how much thought are you giving to making a song that translates to the stage? Or are you just treating the album as something completely different?
I mean, sometimes we tend to, I mean, this with this record, I think we did think about the fact that people like to sing along with us. So in terms of the songwriting element, yeah, there were quite a few songs that we thought, oh yeah, that sounds like, you know, a line that people will sing along to, like in, you know, in We Are, Just Got to Be Who You Are, but them say who we are actually. There was the line, We Are, We Are, We Are, it just sounded like something that the audience would sing along to. And it's become that, you know, we just, when we sing that line, the audience kind of just catch on and sing along to. So there were, yeah, there's some lines that were kind of obvious, like, yeah, yeah, I think we should keep that line because it's something that could be a big, like a big chorus where everyone can just latch on to.
Do the melodies and song ideas come before the lyrics, or do you sometimes have lyrics and then you're looking for a song to put it with?
It's both, actually. It's actually, I mean, it just depends. Sometimes, you know, when, like, if I would be in the studio with Max and say he has like a drum loop or just an idea that he's put together, sometimes I immediately just hear a melody and I'll just like just start chanting a phrase. And then that will be the basis and then we'll build up. Or sometimes I'll just have a phrase going on in my head, just a chant going on in my head, and then we put music to it. So it kind of, it varies.
As far as the live set right now, like, do you focus on the new record or do you try to kind of see all of the body of work as something that you should be kind of representing, or like what goes into building a set for the tour? And
yeah, I think it's more like a continuity because people obviously like songs from previous records, so we tend to keep like some of the songs like from the first record, the second record, and then introduce, of course, a chunk of the set would be the new record, and then we'd replace the chunk of the set with the newer material and take some stuff out. So it's usually, yeah, it would be everything going back even to the first record.
That's nice to hear, because I'd read an interview and you said you kind of think of this as like there is like kind of each record kind of builds atop each other rather than,
yeah,
being like kind of divergent.
Yeah, that's right.
Is that kind of like the mindset of the group, or your mindset and Max's mindset? Like,
I think it's all our mindsets. We like, because the thing about it, like, I think as musicians as well, when you're playing a set, you have to like keep it fresh and new. So every time you introduce something new, it kind of keeps you on your toes because you think, oh, okay, that's a new one to learn. So obviously you're going to try it. You're learning, you're playing something new. So it keeps it a bit new and different as opposed to playing the same set all over and all over again. I mean, not to say we don't like playing the old material. It's just every time you introduce something new or even just change or vary the arrangement a little bit, it's just like, oh, that's really fresh. And it feels like the audience do like that as well.
So do you have a favorite from Pull the Rope that we can get listeners to play?
I guess you can do Pull the Rope because that's the title track. Yeah, we do like that one.
How did you decide on that? Like, was it just obvious that's the title track because the kind of the idea behind the song?
I think it's so funny because I think when we were sort of thinking about the whole concept of pushing and pulling was sort of in the back of my mind, for example, you know, before we even started trying to like put pen to paper. And it was just this visual of, oh wow, boat pulling or people pulling. And then, yeah, the concept just kind of revolved around that. And it kind of, when it came to deciding the title track, it was sort of obvious that that should be the title track because of the message of, you know, kind of bringing people together, which is what we're really all about.
Well, we look forward to you bringing people together at the Winnipeg Folk Festival. You know, thanks very much for taking some time. Safe travels, and can't wait to see you here.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you to everyone. Thanks to Mad Records, to our management as well, for like getting everything done. So we're like really looking forward to coming out there.
We are. Don't tell me to stay. gonna hop too tight, too tight, too tight, too tight.
Don't say who we are, not so important.
Don't say who we are, not so
important. Don't say who we are, not so important. Don't say who we are, this is who we are. Don't say who we are, not so important. Don't say who we are, this is who we are.
I'm Michael Elves, and you've been listening to a special podcast spotlighting Ibibio Sound Machine. We'll be performing on Friday, July 12th at 8:30 p.m. at Big Blue at Night at the Winnipeg Folk Festival. To hear more featured artists, visit umfm.com, and be sure to visit winnipegfolkfestival.ca to get tickets to this great event running July 11th through 14th at Birds Hill Park.